This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD-1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network, coming to you live from the Built Ford Tough studio. We love sports talk radio. We love our team here of BT and Sal. And when, you know, arguments or awkward situations come up with callers or hosts, we're going to play it just like that stuff would happen here. Other shows would play it. So I found this interesting. I found it that there was some real emotion that was going on here during this show. So Jerry was nice enough to cut this up for us so we could play it for people who missed it and then kind of get your opinion on it. So first one here is number one, Eddie, and just to set it up, the caller and BT have at least a acquaintance with one another from the past.
I was on hold for a few minutes. I had to calm down, do some breathing, because Sal, I'm going to lose my mind a little bit, but I'm going to start off with something positive. First of all, BT, I haven't spoke to you in 15 years.
Wow.
Back when you were at the other station, I actually did your theme song for Jody McInerney.
Hey, Maddie! Dude, I still have it. Oh, yeah, that was great. How you doing? You okay?
I'm good, bud. You used to rep my Jets anthem, so
I remember.
I'll rep you forever. Nice. I appreciate that, man.
Yeah. All right, so there you go. So there's BT likes the guy. He's got some history there. So the caller has won some club championships. He has played in a U.S. Open qualifier. He seems that he's a scratch golfer, which is an impressive thing. So as he's giving this resume to Sal, Sal is not impressed with it.
I've played sports my whole life. I'm a scratch golfer now. I won club championships, played in the U.S. Open qualifier.
Oof.
This is one of the few times where I could literally hear someone's handicap based on their opinion.
Yep.
There, when someone is talking about, well, look how he shot his last day, it tells me immediately they have never actually been in that position before. Because of all the sports I have played at a high level, there is nothing that even comes close to being more difficult than a pressure spot in golf.
You played at the Masters before, Matt? You played at the Masters?
Hey, Sal, have you ever played golf at all?
Yes.
Let's start with that.
Yes, I asked you. Well, hold on. I asked you a question.
Comparing a situation where you have pressure on you.
Okay.
Okay?
You played at the Masters before.
Stop gaslighting, Sal. Let me make my point, and then you could just do whatever you'd like, okay?
Well, why can't you answer a question when I ask it? I'm confused at that. That's part of the conversation. You can't do that.
Are you bald, Sal? Are we
yes.
Gonna ask
yes, I am.
You know the answer.
Yes,
to?
I am. I'm bald.
Am
you want to know my
I
weight?
Am too. We okay. have one thing in common. Congratulations.
So, okay, so now I answer okay, your question. Now you answer mine.
All right, so a couple of things here. Obviously, the back and forth with Sal and the caller. I will point out something, though, that maybe other people might have missed, where the guy says, this is the first time ever I could understand or I could tell what someone's handicap is based on what they said. And BT goes, yep. Talking about
yes,
Sal.
Yes.
That 100% pissed Sal off. I can guarantee you. Yep.
And I do have to say that I'm on the caller's side at this point. because he's trying to say something, and Sal interrupts him with a question that obviously we all know the answer to.
Yeah.
Did you play in the Masters? Did you play in the Masters? Did you play in the Masters? I'm like, Jesus Christ, no, he didn't. But he did play in a U.S. Open qualifier. Have you played in that? No. So the caller obviously does know pressure.
Yeah.
There is no question about it. The resume speaks for itself, and the fact that Brandon knows him.
Yeah.
You know, that gives the caller legitimacy when it comes to what he is saying, that, you know, what he has done, and the fact that he is a scratch golfer.
Yeah, I mean, I also think there's this thing that it happens with me and you very rarely, but like when, because you don't do this to me, and I really appreciate you don't do this to me, but there'll be some times where you'll break it out to like break a tie, which is the, well, I mean, I would know you didn't play thing. But that's only when we're in like a heated argument and you want to break a tie. And it happens maybe once a year. Maybe, because you don't do that to me because you're like, listen, you're working hard. You know the stuff. I'm not going to slam that on you every time. But I will say that there are, you know, times like that where I'll be like, well, it doesn't mean that I have zero idea what I'm talking about. I'll defer to you when you're talking about a quarterback. But you know, so talk show hosts don't like that when it's like, I can't talk about something if I didn't do it at the highest level of what an athlete does. So I think there might be a little bit of that going on here with Sal as well. So we'll play the next clip where Sal starts getting after him a little bit more.
You said that you can
Sal,
hear.
Never played the Masters, Sal.
Thank you. That's
Sorry.
It. Very
Only
simple
US
question.
Open qualifiers. Sure. Never played
okay.
the Masters.
Okay.
Now, does that make you feel better?
No. Right. No, it doesn't.
I've won
but you said
I've
it's just
championship.
Matt, what
I'm
we're doing
to
is
to explain to you.
You've won what championship?
To explain. Oh my God, dude. You're like, this is why it's impossible to listen to you sometimes. And I know that's good radio, but like, you sound like a doofus once in a while. And
right.
I'm trying to help you right
you
now.
You sound to me like you're talking like you're
Sal,
the pro.
Sal, Sal.
That's what you
Sal,
think.
Listen to me carefully.
Yeah.
How about you lift it and close your mouth for like 10 seconds?
Bye, Matt. Thank you for the call. You're calling my show.
Our
here's
show.
Here's where I'm the pro.
There we go. All right. So, couple of things there. The you're calling my show, Brandon, pipe it in. Our show, and you know this guy, first of all, the word doofus is hilarious. It's not used enough, doofus, but like he's now, I knew it was building up to this point, and when you say, could you just shut your mouth for a minute, then like, you know that Sal was gonna hang up at that point, and I was hoping that it wouldn't stop right there, that it would go a little bit further. Now this next part, I think there is some real tension here between the two. So you already heard the our show thing. Now you're going to hear the rest of BT's reaction to that.
I asked him some simple questions. He couldn't answer them again. I don't understand it.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
What?
I don't know. I mean, we're
you have nothing
answer.
To say? We're getting paid to tell you have nothing to say?
I mean, do you want to keep fighting with people?
Yeah.
Is that fun?
Okay. You got nothing to say?
Yeah, wow. That's...
We're getting paid to talk and you got nothing to say?
Yeah, we've been there before. We know what that's like. Was it getting after it, man, because of the Masters and Rory McIlroy. Look at the emotion.
Yeah, I know. Golf brings out in people.
Yes.
So yeah, you're feeling that?
Oh, I feel it. Yeah.
You're feeling that thing?
Definitely feel it. We could have an issue.
Yeah.
You know, a fist fight out in the bullpen. Big Hurls is going to have to clamp this down.
Well, this is one of the things that we talked about when those two guys got together, was like the passion in things was going to come to a head occasionally. That hasn't happened a lot, but it certainly came to a head here. But like so BT showed some restraint there. I mean, he was going, I don't know. Like, he didn't want to even get involved in it. Like, he could have said what was on his mind.
Yeah.
Which was that he totally disagreed with the way that Sal handled the phone call, but he gave you like a, I don't know. So,
I mean, and Sal hung up on one of BT's buddies. Is what
well,
he did.
I don't know if it's one of his buddies as much
well,
as it
sounds
was.
Like they worked together 15 years ago.
Well, yeah, so he sent him a song and he knew him, but I don't think it was like one of his close friends. But yeah, so there was no doubt our show, and then I don't know. It's like, you want to keep fighting with people? And then the Sal, the real salvo there, no pun intended, was the we get paid to talk and you have nothing to say. So let's hear how the whole thing wraps up.
He's saying that because he played, that his opinion should be more than others. And that to me is not accurate.
I don't know that he actually said that. I think if he said that, I stay corrected.
Go
I don't know
back,
if he said that literally, but it doesn't matter.
No, it does matter because he said he could hear, this is the one conversation he could hear, the handicap when talking about it. And that alludes to that I didn't play at the Masters. Neither did he. And that's all I was trying to say.
Yeah, all right.
So I don't care how many tournaments you think you won, how good you think you are at golf. That doesn't matter.
Well,
to
he
me.
Could come here from a different place. I think what he said was he tried to qualify for the U.S. Open, which means he has tried to do something neither one of us could do in our dreams.
Congratulations.
So there could have been a good opinion there. There could have been a good point. Oh, he didn't get to it.
He don't want to get to it because he'd rather disrespect me and fight with me.
Okay.
You disagree with that?
I would have liked to have heard what he said.
Yeah, well, I mean, Sal did what he was supposed to do, and that is, you know, charge up the callers, and he basically cut the caller short.
Yes. So, unfortunately, if you were to go back and script this thing in the way that it would have been perfect, there would have been emotion between the two, there would have been passion between the two, but it wouldn't have gotten to the name-calling spot where the phone call had to end early, right?
Yeah.
That's what I think what BT is saying. It's like, oh, fine, you know, you want to get charged up about it, you want to have passion about it, good, but you know, now you're fighting and there's name calling and there's hanging up, but now we're not getting anywhere.
Well, the one thing I will say about the caller in his defense, like we said earlier, he tried to qualify for the U.S. Open. Mm-hmm. He's played golf at a very high level. He knows how hard it is. Hell, you and I were standing over 5-foot putts sweating yesterday. I mean, so we, you know, what do we do? We're a bunch of doofuses out there slapping around all over the place.
I do think, though, that there is a point in there when you play a lot of golf and you watch it, you do come from a totally different perspective. You just do. Like, and I understand that we watch baseball and play baseball and all that stuff, and I think that we appreciate, like, you know, now you want to talk about a putt, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Stephen Waldron, for actually showing a good highlight of me. Here is a putt, ladies and gentlemen, on CBS Sports Network. Look at this. I mean, just all the way. Bang. I mean, oh, my goodness.
Oh, look at that fist pump and everything.
Yeah, look at that. That was a big moment.
You're into,
applause there for Mr. Borelli and Frankie's father-in-law. And then a wave to the gallery. Yep. So anyway, but when you play something, you do appreciate the greatness in it and how hard things are to do. And I think that's another reason why people love the struggles of golf from the pros, because it's like, wow, even they're going through that. Like when Victor Hovland was talking about his swing and how many issues he was having with it and all these thoughts that he was having, we were like, wow, someone that good thinks the way we do. And like at the U.S. Open, when they're struggling in certain situations, it's like, wow, they struggle like that. So I think there's an appreciation there from people who do play a lot when we're talking about the game. But yeah, that was icy. There's no two ways about it. It's fine.
You're calling my show.
Our show. Do you remember how we opened yesterday's show when I was telling you I was shocked at the amount of, you know, social media personalities? I mean, legitimate personalities that have legitimate followers, that have a legitimate platform, were knocking Rory McIlroy for the way that he played his last round at the Masters. Like, that was the only round he played. Like, the previous three didn't matter. Yeah. I mean, and how many good shots he hit, and he had a few bad shots, and he had a bad putt, and then he made a putt. I mean, that's golf in a nutshell. But so that was me yesterday early.
Mm-hmm.
And then I understand why that caller probably got annoyed at Sal. But then again, Sal was doing what he normally does,
right,
what he's supposed to do.
Exactly. Yes. And then makes for entertaining radio and all of that stuff. But this happens too. Like, I'm sure I've been guilty many times of like watching something that I don't normally watch that got very popular in sports for a little bit. And then I'll talk about it without as much context but I mean, then I'll sort of admit the fact I don't know as much about it. But this is what happens when like something, everybody was watching this. Not everybody's a golfer. Everybody had an opinion on it. And that's sort of how it came together.
But it's just like, you know how they argue about things on ESPN?
Mm-hmm.
They sit there and scream at each other about the most mundane things. And this was one of these things. Like, is Rory one of the greatest ever? And, you know, did he finish the way he should have finished? I mean, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
He won the Masters, I know, for God's sake.
I know.
And he's one of six guys to complete the Grand Slam.
Yeah.
I mean, whether you're an athlete or not an athlete, I don't care. That's an accomplishment that very few people have ever done. He's one of six guys to have done it.
Yeah.
Does it matter how he did it?
I could literally hear someone's handicap based on their opinion.
Yep.
That yep was like, you're right, Sal's an idiot.
Oh, yeah. You could definitely Yeah.
Oh, so that's how you're interpreting
it. Oh, 100%. I interpreted that as well. I mean,
can I hear that one more time?
I could literally hear someone's handicap based on their opinion.
Yep. Yeah, you're right. I think you guys are right. Yeah. I have to agree with you. Yeah.
And listen, I don't want to sit here and point for you. There's times that we get annoyed with one another, too, and then we'll just say some passive aggressive thing back to each other. So it's not like
when was the last time that happened?
I'm just trying to be fair. That's all. You know,
open of the show last Wednesday.
Last Wednesday?
Yeah, when Boomer basically hit every single topic.
Oh, yeah, I did say something at the end there. I was like, well, now we got to figure out what we're going to talk about for the next 3 hours.
We're going to talk about all of those same things for the next 3.5 hours.
Yeah, but that wasn't an icy one. It was just a funny one. But yeah, I mean, I just don't want to sit here and point fingers and be like, you know, you guys don't like each other. You know, it happens between talk shows. You see each other every single day. You get annoyed with one another from time to time.
You're calling my show.
Our show.
I mean, this with this, yeah.
I don't know. I mean we're just
you have nothing to say? We're getting paid to tell you have nothing to say?
Oh, yeah, that's pretty icy.
Yeah. The more I'm hearing it, the more I'm squirming.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man, that's pretty icy.
You're getting paid to talk, you got nothing to say. Oh! Duck! Duck! Oh, man. What do you think Dove was doing during this? Eating?
Probably eating his Cheerios.
Actually, Passover.
That's right.
Oh,
yeah. I wonder if Hoffman was freaking out. Think Hoffman freaks out when that stuff happens, or you think he loves it? I bet he freaks out a little bit because then he's got to deal with it. Because they definitely had a fight in the break after that, I think. That would be my opinion. I shouldn't say they definitely. My opinion would be that they talked out in the break passionately about what happened. That would be my guess. You know? And then Hoffman's got to be like, oh, God damn it. All I want to do is show
The trials and tribulations of being a talk show host.
All I want to do is come here, screen some phone calls, have a good time, pipe in with my Jets opinion with my giant tongue every once in a while. That's all I'm trying to do, man. You guys are making my life so much harder. All right, it's Boomer and Geo on the Fan at CBS Sports Network.
You're calling my show.
Our show.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Jerry Recco is back. He's got Mets, Yankees, and other stuff for us. What's happening, Jerry?
All right, well, we can start with the Mets. The Mets playing the Twins on the road last night. You had the Yankees at home against the Royals. Tale of two different cities because it was rather warm here for what it's been. In Minnesota, it was not, but the bats for the Mets continue to do what they need to do, and Pete Alonso continues to swing a hot bat, getting the Mets on the board.
Acuna still at second, 1-0 pitch. Pete swings and rockets one through the hole on the left side, a base hit. Acuna's around third. He's coming to the plate. Larnick's throw to the plate is cut off. Pete stops at first with an RBI single, and the Mets strike first. It's 1-0 New York in the top of the third. RBI number 19 for Pete Alonso.
And that was Pete McCarthy on Mets Odyssey Radio. Got the Mets going offensively.
Not Pete McCarthy, right?
What did I say? Pete? Pat.
Pat McCarthy.
I always write Pete McCarthy. I don't know why. Who's Pete McCarthy?
Pete McCarthy used to do the Mets post game on WOR and has sometimes done overnight updates here.
So they had a Pete McCarthy on the Mets broadcast back in the day and then hired a Pat McCarthy?
That's right.
And right. Pat is Tom's son.
That is correct.
Not Pete.
Pete's not.
Pete, not Pat. No, Pat, not Pete.
Pete has nothing to do with Tom, I don't think.
Don't know. So that's Pat McCarthy.
Pat McCarthy.
Yep. Pat McCarthy. This is Pat Alonso. Here is Alonso on Mets Odyssey Radio post game. The approach to get to a really good pitcher in Joe Ryan.
Because he attacks his zone so much, he's going to throw one in the zone eventually. So I thought everyone did a great job of driving his pitch count up, fouling off those tough ones, and taking those tough pitches on the outside of the zone when he vacated. So just job well done getting a great starter like that out in the fifth.
2-for-2 for Alonso. Mark Vientos, an RBI double. Juan Soto, the home run. 5-1 was the final. Here was Soto. Yeah, we put some runs on the board, but you know who didn't? The Twins, thanks to our pitching.
I think they're pretty good. Definitely, they've been doing a really good job. I feel like the bullpen has been great, and our starter's been setting the table for the bullpen, so I think we are in a good shape right now.
In good shape right now, but not in good shape would be Jose Siri, because he's got a broken leg. That happened in Sacramento in the A's series. Here was Carlos Mendoza, the plan going forward with Siri now out.
I feel good with what we have here. Tyrone Taylor will continue to get a lot of opportunities. We'll prepare Winker to get more, and obviously Marte. So
We feel they got people. That's basically what it comes down to. You got Tyler McGill, Bailey Ober tonight on 880 Mets Odyssey Radio. First pitch will be at 7:40. As for the Yankees, a lot of home runs hit last night in their win over the Royals.
Here's the 0-1 to Jazz, left-hand hitter. And pitch swung on a high fly ball deep right center field. Going back is Isbell. Looking up. Goodbye.
Hey now.
Jazz Chisholm ties this game up at 1-1 here in the fourth. Back-to-back games for Jazz with home runs.
Yeah, how about that? That's because it's getting warm. It's Dave Sims with the call.
He played the Hey Now last hour?
I did. It was okay, Ben Rice's. Right. I think it was Ben Rice's okay. Home run.
Yep.
That was the in the four clips that we have, it's the only one where he did
one
it.
One Hey Now. So I think he's phasing it out. That's what I think.
You can't, no. You can't have a back and forth now with Howard and then and get approval from him and then phase it out. That's not the way that works.
That would have been four Hey Nows if Howard didn't say anything about it.
Well, so what I'm saying is he might have done the Hey Nows in a longer clip that we don't have.
Okay. Well, he definitely didn't do it in that one.
Because Susan
piped in there.
Yeah, maybe not.
I'm telling you, this is a thing. He's thought about this. He's leaned on his mentors. He's talked to them. What do I do with this Hey Now? Everybody's all over me. It was Howard's thing out in Seattle.
He's leaned on his mentors?
Yeah.
He's 72 years old. How old are his mentors?
90. And they're still there. It's like Yoda.
Okay.
And he's like, man, I don't know what to do. I was Hey Now my ass off in Seattle. No one cared. Now I came here. Hey Now, everybody's all, I've been getting Zoom interviews left and right. Everybody's asking me about it. You know, I mean, it's become a thing in his life.
Who do you think is the oldest announcer right now in baseball since we've lost?
Bob Uecker.
Uecker, we lost. Sterling retired.
Scully.
Scully has passed on, right? Well, he retired anywhere before that happened, but I don't
think Dave Sims has got to be up there, right?
Oh, I don't know. There could be someone that's in their late 70s, early 80s.
That guy who, the Royals.
Danny Matthews.
Yeah. Is he the Royals guy?
Yeah.
Yeah,
because I think we had some fun with him at his expense and during the Mets World Series.
Yeah.
And then we weren't aware he was an older gentleman and people crushed us for getting on an old guy.
Yeah, of course. That always happens.
Of course it does.
Every time.
How old do you have that, Boom? How old?
I can't find
him. He's 57 years doing games.
Oh, I thought you were going to say 57 years old. Okay. So 50. So he's got to be at least in his late 70s. So that's a good call right there. Here was here was Chisholm on Yes, talking also about the Yankee star, the Yankee pitching, just the way we were hearing about the Met pitching.
One run, two hits, right? Yeah, that's sick. I had to check the scoreboard. But I remember it was like a one-hit game going into the night. I forgot they got another hit. But, no, man, they did fantastic tonight. And, you know, this is what we expect out of them every time they come out is to be great. Just how they want us to be great, you know. And us as a team, that's what we expect.
Stupid question.
Go ahead.
And way too complicated and nobody cares about. But when you go around this area this time of year, you see a lot of brown grass. You see, like, even the golf courses are well kept. Not everything looks perfect. With these baseball fields that look absolutely perfect starting in March, do they bring the, like, sod in right before the season starts to make it look like that? Because the only time you see grass that perfect this time of year is at a baseball field
in
the Northeast.
My neighbor Rich has grass like that all year long. He really treats it. And it looks phenomenal.
Even in the wintertime?
All year long.
Green in the wintertime?
All year long. It is, I mean, great grass. Now, my last house we had, I forget what the type of grass, it turned brown in the winter, and it was a very thick green in the summer, spring, summer, and fall. But in the winter, it went brown. That was just the type of grass it was.
You know, I'm getting into
not Bermuda grass, right?
No, it can't be Bermuda.
Zoiza. Is that the one that turns brown in the winter? I don't know. My last home had it.
I'm getting into agronomy now. My friend Craig Currier's got me into it. A lot of fertilizer. Love different types of fertilizer.
Well, there's a good example. Their fairways are green all year long.
They're not, though. They're not like that. They're green, but they're not that.
Question, do they have heaters under the field?
Ooh. See, there's something going on there. I'd like to know, because I don't want my grass to go brown in the winter.
You don't have neighbors that have beautiful green grass all year long?
No.
Really?
They might have turf tech, your neighbor.
He does not have turf tech. I watch him cut it and seed it and treat it.
Probably uses True Green. That's what the PGA Tour uses.
Yeah.
It's possible. He might. I don't know.
Zoysia. You're right. Zoysia.
He's the one that turns brown.
Yeah.
That's what we had in my last house. It was bizarre. The first year we were there, I'm like, what the hell happened to the lawn? And then I learned.
That's what at the University of Maryland, we used to play on Bermuda grass. It was gorgeous.
Yeah.
And the field was unbelievable. But then in November, boom, brown.
Yeah. Brown.
Vinny, my shrub guy from O'Connell's Landscape.
You got a shrub guy?
I do, yeah. Vinny the shrub guy.
Vinny Shrubs, what do you call him?
Vinny Shrubs. There you go. What do you call Courier?
What do I call Courier? Yeah, yes. I call him the Patrick Mahomes of superintendents.
That's all right. Well, it's not going to be easy with that.
Max Fried, Michael Wacha tonight on the Fan coverage, 6:25. Meantime, Aaron Judge was named to be the captain of the Team USA for the 2026 WBC, and he was honored.
It's something special, you know, getting a chance to represent our country. I kind of said earlier this morning, just thinking about all the brave men and women that have fought for this country and, you know, laid their lives down for us to get a chance to go out here, and especially me get a chance to go out here and play a game. You know, it's a pretty humbling experience.
So very nice. And then he was asked along the way, I'm not sure when this question came, but at some point when he was talking to the media.
Aaron, did you talk to the Yankees at all about this before you made your decision?
No.
Does he have to?
No.
Right? Well, so I don't think so either. You think he might, maybe should have.
Listen, Major League Baseball supports this.
Me too.
I mean, I don't think he has to ask the Yankees, but I think you tell them, don't you? Like, I'm before sure that, you announce
but
it?
I'm sure the Yankees were told.
Just as long as it's before the announcement is made, that's fine. He doesn't have to ask them, I don't think.
I believe that the Yankees were told beforehand. Hey, listen, we're thinking about making Aaron Judge because Major League Baseball wants to grow the game. They want to, you know, promote this, and we need the biggest stars to play in it. So we're going to make him the American captain, and I couldn't think of anybody better.
Fair enough. All right, in Philadelphia, the Giants beat the Phillies 10-4, and along the way here, JT Realmuto was victimized by brutal umpiring once again.
Runners go. And a strike.
Oh, my goodness.
That is way off the plate.
That is not a good play.
JT does not react like that.
Nope.
Now, you wonder how the other side sees it. This was Giants TV.
Runners will be off. Let's try to execute your best pitch right here. If you walk him, you got the lefty on deck.
3-2. He walked him. Oh. No, he did not. Strike three called.
Now, I bring this up because there was actually one of the umpires, and this has been bad in a lot of cases, certainly. One of the umpires over the weekend 100% hit everyone. You think I remember his name. But yeah, I saw that, I think, Saturday.
There's a new guy named Angel Hernandez.
No. That guy's lucky to get 50% right. I thought that was interesting. Also, I think this was yesterday. If not, it was over the weekend. This was Bryce Harper's wife having a baby, and this is, I guess, the new thing. This is how they let us know.
Bryce is at the plate. Swing and a miss. Now, you can take a look at the bat that he's using. He's using the Victus bat, the blue bat. Well, guess what?
Oh.
The blue bat arrived at the ballpark today.
To do the gender reveal.
Yes. There you go.
On television. Okay.
We missed all that.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. That stuff was not a thing until after my kids were born. You did have it, correct?
Yeah, we did the first time, but the second time with IVF, the gender reveal happens way before that, right? Because they tell you what's in there.
Understood. You know? Understood.
Got a boy here, girl here, twins here.
Dodgers beat the Rockies 5-3. Bud Black is the manager of the Rockies, but he maintains a home in Southern California. Went down to take, I guess, the train to the park. Earthquake. So he had to take an Uber. And the Uber cost him over $250, which was interesting. Imagine being down there, though, and then the earth starts shaking. 5.6 on the
ring. San Diego, yeah.
Yeah, so you had that. What else? Colorado quarterback Shedeur Sanders will have this private workout for the Giants this Thursday in Boulder. This was fun. John Gruden from Barstool Now talking with Memphis quarterback Seth Hannigan. Is this a big prospect or... He's a prospect. Okay. So here was Gruden giving him some advice, if you will, from when he was a coach in the NFL and maybe things he took along the way.
When they start all-out blitzing us, that'd be the last time they do it. I did it to Peyton Manning. Now, we called an all-out blitz against Peyton Manning. He saw it. He flashed a hand signal, touchdown. You know what he did after he did it? He ran right by my sideline. He says, "Are you out of your f***ing mind?" I swear he did that. You know that?
That's impressive.
That's what I want you to do.
There you go. Well, yeah. Advice for the kid.
Yeah, there's a clip there that where he's going over snap counts with Will Howard, where it goes on for like 2 minutes long of him just going like, blue, 48, blue, blue, blue. Will Howard's looking at him like, is this ever going to end?
I did not see that.
Man, he would have been fun here, man.
Yeah.
He would have.
Absolutely.
You know, it's interesting, and I know exactly what Peyton Manning was doing because we were playing the Patriots 1 year. This is when Kotite was the coach, and every time you'd get over the 50-yard line. Al Groh, I think, was the defensive coordinator. And I remember telling Wayne during the week, I said, look, these coaches that are coaching us now have no idea that this is coming, but I'm telling you just from my experience that you have to be ready for a particular play, that if they bring the safety blitz or the corner blitz off of you, you have to cut your route off. So, of course, we go over the 50-yard line, and I'm looking over at Al Groh, and I'm looking at Wayne Corbett, and I'm looking at Al Groh, and I'm looking at Wayne Corbett, and I'm telling Wayne Corbett, here it comes. And I look over to Al Groh. Sure enough, the corner was coming to my backside. I drop back. Wayne cut his route off. I hit him. He goes for like 25 yards and a first down. You would have thought that we completed the final play and a touchdown. The way that Wayne reacted to, because he was a rookie. And we actually did something that actually worked. And I remember walking over to Al Groh saying, it was either Parcells or Al Groh. I couldn't remember. Something like, stop with that weak-ass crap with the corner blitzes. They never work. Something like that, yeah. So.
Couple of things from basketball. You got the Hawks and Magic tonight, Warriors and Grizzlies as well as the play-in games begin. You've got Mike Budenholzer now free as he was fired by the Suns yesterday. They did not make the playoffs. They had a miserable season, and now a lot of questions about Kevin Durant's future.
The players.
You know, I'm all for firing the players. You know me.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Kevin Durant went there and ruined that team too.
Well, yeah, basically, yeah. I mean,
he's playing at the Garden next year.
No way. No way.
It'll be delicious. Paige Beckers of UConn, the number one pick in the WNBA draft. She goes to the Dallas Wings. NHL, the Rangers playing out the string. I saw Sam got a nice standing ovation last night.
Florida, yep.
Yep, which was kind of cool. And they did beat the Panthers 5-3. Vincent Trocheck, the go-ahead shorthanded goal in the third. Matt Rempe and Johnny Brzezinski with a goal apiece as well. Here is Rempe is saying, they're just trying to finish things strong.
Very disappointing season, and you know, these two games we gotta play for a jersey and fans and everything. We want to go put out a good effort, so I'm happy with the win and gotta do it again Thursday.
Guy can play hockey, man. He's gotten so much better. He's so big, he's so hard to move in front of the net. He's got that long stick. He's really good stick handler, better than I thought. And it's not just about fighting and all this other crap with him. He's actually turned himself into a legitimate hockey player that should be a part of this team next year going forward.
And I don't know if you heard that Al's going back to church now. He has gone to church because earlier this season he prayed for no Rangers playoffs and it came true. So he is now a believer once again.
Now I owe someone.
Every night. Please, Lord, above.
How's that make you feel, Boom?
Yeah, not good.
Please.
JT Miller also scored in this game, his 22nd. Devils Bruins tonight, and the Islanders take on the Washington Capitals.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. 888-808-1019, the number to join the show. We have a couple of callers here I want to get to in this segment before we hit 9 o'clock. And every time I see this guy, I have to go to him. And that is the great Anthony in Belleville, who joins us this morning. What's going on, Anthony? How are you?
Boomer and Geo. Hey now.
Hey now.
Dude.
What's happening, Anthony? What you want today?
Whose show am I calling?
Our show.
Regarding the umpires and the catchers, now, don't you think this framing stuff is kind of trying to deceive the umpire?
Yes.
I mean,
that's the whole point.
I mean, how can they do that? And they shouldn't allow that. You know, they do it anyway, but it's trying to deceive the umpire, and it makes me aggravated as well.
All right, well, what do you think? I mean, do you have a consistent opinion on this when it comes to, you know, Patrick Mahomes trying to draw a flag or an NBA player flopping to get a foul? Do you put that in the same category as the catcher framing a pitch?
Absolutely.
Okay.
But it's more, but it happens more in baseball because there's a lot of games and it happens all the time.
Yeah, but okay, yeah. But it's up to the umpire who knows that the catcher is framing those pitches to make the right call.
You know what I will say about this? Did you ever play baseball there, Andy? You know, there is an art to framing pitches. That's all I'll say from a catcher's perspective.
Right. And they're not. And there was a rule to stop flopping in the NBA and in the NHL with the embellishment stuff or the flopping calls are saying that. They're not going to make a rule in Major League Baseball to stop framing.
That is a part of the game, and that is something that catchers, as they are called receivers, you know, there's an art to it.
Yeah. Let's this is a caller that I could hear like in like 2003 dog going to on a Saturday morning. Flavio and Hawthorne. Flavio, you're on the Fan.
Hey now, Flavio. Hey, guys. Hey, listen, before I get into the Yankees, I just want to say the best part of the BT and Sal show, it was either last week or the week before, was when Sal called in sick.
Oh, see, That's all I'm going to say.
It was a little bit of a crybaby. But listen, about the Yankees, you know, we're several weeks into the season, and I think Carlos Rodon has proved himself to be an outstanding middle reliever. So with Schmidt coming back Wednesday, I'm going to that game. I'm excited about that. With Heel coming back eventually, what are your thoughts on putting Rodon? Because he, 3-4 innings, he's outstanding. Once he hits that. I don't know, Flavio,
from a baseball standpoint, you're correct. From a contract standpoint, there's no way they what they're paying him, what he used to be, what they need him to be with Gerrit Cole out. He's going to get every single opportunity, and if he's horrendous, then he won't be in the rotation in the postseason. But there is no way in hell you could take a guy who's making that type of money, who has shown at times he still has it, just not enough times. You're going to stick him in the bullpen for mop up duty. It's just not. Not something that's going to happen.
I mean, he's making $27 million a year.
Yeah.
And he was brought here to be what they thought was going to be like either the premier starter or the second guy. And now adding Max Fried to this mix, he's going to be the second guy. And, it, you know, I understand what Flavio is saying because it is so frustrating to watch a guy that can be so dominating and then all of a sudden completely lose it, especially after the coaches come out and talk to him.
Yeah, I mean, and this was the biggest fear when he came over, that he was going to be one of these guys like a Sonny Gray who couldn't handle it when he came here. And it's just, he hasn't been as bad as that.
No, but you got 3.5 more years of him.
I know. Well, so far so good with Max Fried, at least. Let's go to Pat and Suffren. What's up, Pat?
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, man.
Just a couple things. If I could just do two quick things. One, I think I was listening on either Sunday morning or Saturday, and they were like interviewing Rory, and luckily he was in the lead, so he spoke to the reporter. But he was talking about his approach, and I'm going to tell you, it was fascinating. He was talking about the emotion, like keeping that, and then keeping like the robotic part, like the technical part, and just merging it together. And I thought it was from an athlete, one of the best just insights into what his mental approach was. I mean, Boomer's always talking about how the fans want to know what they're thinking and all that. And it was pretty good, I thought.
Yeah,
I actually saw it. And by the way, he did have lunch with Jack Nicklaus prior to the Masters. And they were going over all the holes and about how he was going to play the holes.
Yeah, which is great. And there's obviously nobody better to talk to than Jack about it. I mean, I think that some of these golfers and when they open up and talk about the mental and the physical side about it, it is fascinating to people because a lot of people play, as I mentioned before, Victor Hovland, some of the stuff that he was talking about, you know, the way that Bryson approaches it. But, you know, Rory is someone that has to be, as he says it, in his own little world, in his bubble. When he plays his best, or he's not thinking about the distractions, he's not thinking about anything else, he's just being himself, bopping up and down with that walk, and clearly it got in his head a little bit towards the end, but he was still able to finish the job.
So, you know, golf is an individual sport. Now, you have coaches, and you have people around you, your family and everything else, but it really truly is you, the golf ball, and the elements, and the golf course, of course, and you know this because you play yourself. And I was listening to Henrik Lundqvist and Brian Boyle last night talk about Matt Rempe. And it's the same thing. Like, you have to learn how to become a professional hockey player, and you can't be encumbered or uncumbered. You have to become uncumbered, right?
Unencumbered
with your brain. In other words, your brain gets in the middle of everything that you're doing. You're thinking too much. It's the same thing with a rookie quarterback. It could be a rookie pitcher. It could be a rookie batter. Like, they start overthinking things, and now all of a sudden your brain gets in your way. Until you start having some success and realizing, as Brian Boyle was pointing out last night, like when you're a young hockey player, you're so worried about defense and being where you're supposed to be that your offensive game just doesn't come to you because you're not, you're thinking too much. You're overanalyzing it. And I think the same thing can be said about golf. That's why in the last 20 years, we didn't have it this much when I played back in the 80s. We had some of it. And I remember my coach, Coach Claiborne, my initial coach at the University of Maryland, all gave us a book. And it was called Psycho-Cybernetics. And it was the power of positive thinking. And that was the first time that I had ever been exposed to something like that. We didn't get into real detail with it. It was just a book that we all read and kind of, you close your eyes, you visualize you having success. But you, when you listen to what Rory was saying and how he's approaching the round, what Brian Boyle was saying about Matt Rempe last night, it's the same thing in regards to every sport, every athlete.
Jason Day closes his eyes before every tee shot and envisions the good shot before he hits it.
Yeah.
So I mean,
that's the lie that America tells you and the American dream. You know, if you want it, work hard enough and you can achieve it. You can't, actually. That's a big, fat lie.
Well, nobody Jerry keeps it real like Jerry, you know what I'm saying?
Jake at Central Park. What's going on, Jake?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Yeah, you know, I just, you know, heard the call earlier about, you know, do you think that you're trying to deceive the umpire by framing a pitch? Like, you've got, do I wear black, you know, to hide that I'm getting sacked from my girlfriend? Like, what kind of question is that? You know, this has been a part of the game forever.
You know what, Jake? That is hilarious. And that was Anthony in Belleville that called up and asked that question. And
who's usually a little bit, you know, sarcastic.
Out there.
Yeah, and out there.
Well, I think he actually asked a serious question this time, but he's definitely out there. His brain works differently than ours, Jake. You just got to remember that.
And we're very sensitive to our, pretty much our everyday callers.